Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Welcome, sinners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're all here. I am so excited to be here this morning. I can hardly wait to hear myself speak. Reminds me of the Vacaville, California prison where Gene and I spent a whole day. One other minister had come to that prison, and his opening remarks got him into trouble. When he got his next statement, it was even worse. By the time he tried to catch himself, he was in too deep. Because his remarks to this audience were, "Fellas, you cannot know how excited and happy I am to finally be here in this place with you." But then he said, "But you know, fellas, I'm even more delighted that you are here in this place." And then he said, "You know, fellas, I know because you're here in this place, our world is a better place to live." I could spend quite a bit of time telling you how delighted I am to be here today. How God isn't finished with me yet. I've gone through a litany of all kinds of challenges and problems. And having been in UCLA Hospital, Florida Hospital, with all kinds of different surgeries. Last week, my brother came down with COVID, and his wife, they're the Milashenko family, singers and music. Jeannie and I went to the Noah's Ark here to hear the Collingswood family. We came back with a terrible case of flu. She canceled just 2 days ago, and I was about to cancel until Pastor Morris, I'm not going to be able to make it. I said, "God, you've done it before. So I am happy to be here in this place today. But I'm even more delighted that you folks are here in this place. Coming from all over this planet, I've been meeting some of you at the breakfast and last night at dinner. Jamaica, a lot of Jamaicans here. Met folks that I've met years ago in, with the family reunion. Moses Brown gave me a big hug back here. I know because you're here from Texas and Jamaica and other parts of this country, because you're there and live and move and have your being in those streets and those highways and the byways, I know that your community, I know that your street, I know that your city, your state, your country, wherever you live, because of you being there, is a better place to live. And I'm honored to be here with you today. So delighted that Pastor Morris and I have worked in ministry together over the years. Habakkuk 1:5 says to me, "Lon, look upon the world and watch. I'm about to do a thing in your day that you would not believe, even if it were told you." I don't have to tell you that the speed with which our world is tobogganed downhill into the apocalypse takes one breath away. I mean, in just 1 year, in all of history, there's never been a year like 2020 or 2021. The world in less than 1 year, listen to me, we conform to behaviors that were inconceivable and unthinkable, and science fiction couldn't have written that for television. Within just 1 week, the entire planet shut down. Airports were closed, grocery stores, churches. You couldn't go out to spend money at the hardware, nothing. In fact, I have friends, medical people, Loma Linda, California, they said, told me that in Riverside, California, if you showed up outside without a mask on your way to the hospital, you were fined $5,000. Look upon the nations and watch, Habakkuk 1:5 says. I'm about to do a work in your day that you would not believe, even if we're told you. H.M.S. Richards Jr. Harold worked with me for almost, until he passed away in 2000. He loved cartoons, and he said, "The best cartoons don't have any words on them. You can tell exactly what the artist has said. So I want you to use your imagination right now. I'm not going to put it on the screen. I don't want anybody to draw this, but just use your imagination. And can you see three panels that the artist has put, and then three panels below that? Over here on the left-hand panel at the top, can you see a big oval? See that? An egg. All right? Now come to the next panel in the middle. Now you see there's a crack coming down that egg. Can you see that crack? Okay, move to the next panel. And you look at this panel, and sure enough, there's a beak coming out. You can see the beak of that little birdie. Now come to the next panel, the one on the next, the left side. There's a little chick. Next panel, he's hopped out. And he's smiling, he's so happy, he's so excited to be there at the Hope Channel in Florida. He is absolutely thrilled. Now look at the next panel. He looks to his left. Look of terror on his face. He sees the pandemic and he sees all sorts of inoculations, all sorts of problems of disease and social distancing. Drop down to the next panel. He looks over to the other side, to his right. He sees war and he sees all kinds of things. He sees what's just happened in Washington, D.C. It's just announced that we're 150% higher of nuclear war as of this week with China. He sees that the newspapers yesterday said that in New York City, all of the fire departments are down to less than 55%. And he's so shocked to hear what's going to be taking place tomorrow morning in the news. The next panel, take a look. He jumps back in the egg. And he's pulling the egg around him. And the final panel, all you see in the cartoon is an oval. Can you see that? Can you see that depiction of billions of people on this planet Earth today? They're looking this way, they're looking that way, and they're in absolute shock, terror. They don't want any more. They just want to get away from it and be an egg again. Some of them are so fearful, they think they're going to have to take an inoculation and that will have some sort of a chip inside of them, and so that now you'll have some sort of mark. And there are things about this, maybe you want to buy or sell. It's very interesting. I just got this yesterday. An interesting prophetic look from our people over in Saudi Arabia and Iraq. Their perspective of end time things and how much they are terrorized. Here's the prophetic look into the future of our Western culture by a very wealthy Middle Eastern person. And some of you have been to his city over there. This is a progressive sheikh who built the fabulous city in the desert, and he may have some insight to the direction that the West is heading. This is the wisdom of the founder of Dubai. Have you heard of that city? The founder of Dubai, Sheikh Rashid, asked about the future of his country over there, replied, "My grandfather rode a camel. My father rode a camel. I ride in a Mercedes. My son rides a Land Rover. And my grandson is going to ride a Land Rover. But my great-grandson is going to have to ride a camel again." "Why is that?" he was asked. His reply, listen. "Hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. Weak men create difficult times. Many will not understand it, but you have to raise warriors, not parasites. And add to that the historical reality that all great empires," and he lists the Persians, the Trojans, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, and then later the British, "all rose and perished. They were not conquered by external enemies. They were conquered by rotting from within. America," he said, "is now passing the 240-year mark, and the rot is starting to be visible and is accelerating. We are past the Mercedes and Land Rover years. The camels are on the horizon." Billions and billions of people feel like that chick. I have friends who have told me, I just wish I could be like that chick and go back into my mother's womb. I'm so confused, I don't know whether or not I ought to take the vaccination or not. You hear all kinds of things, the political lines are all drawing up. These are exciting times to be living in, folks. But they're also frightening times. But for us who have the book, they are thrilling times because all of us know something is about to happen. Amen? I was raised in the black church. My father was ordained in the black church. Held a black series of meetings down in the middle of Watts, Los Angeles, where Little Richard used to come up with his... Most of you white people don't know who Little Richard is. Great big white stretch limousine. 8 bodyguards. Come in behind Jeannie. Preach it, brother. So, reading the... I have enthusiasm in my blood. Reading all this during the COVID, I read all the writings in Ellen White that are in the big reviews and heralds and the signs of the times. Most of her writings that you read in the bookstores are not there. I read some amazing things. I was glad to hear a little applause here for some of the songs earlier this morning. You know what she says about worship? This is not in my sermon. She says that Adventists who come to worship don't realize that there's a great controversy behind them, and there's a great force, a dark force, that for thousands and thousands of years before this earth began, was in heaven trying to deflect honor and appreciation and applause from Jesus. And she says that same force comes to church on Sabbath morning. I'd never read this in the Spirit of Prophecy before. And when our people are there, they're supposed to respond. They're supposed to do something. They're supposed to praise. They're supposed to shout hallelujah. And David says with loud sounding cymbals. I've never heard that in the Sabbath morning worship service. But if you don't say amen and shout hallelujah, and you don't clap or applaud the Lord, she says you are worshiping another force. I never read statements like that before. So I want you to respond when Pastor Morris and when these musicians sing. And let's have a little Pentecostalism going on here. Will you say
hallelujah?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I want to share a scripture right now. I want you to put on your seatbelts. I've never preached on this before. I've never really heard a sermon preached on this before. If you want to open your Bible to John 15:22, I want to have a little prayer before I preach. Father, these are just lips of clay here this morning. So it's not enough to study the Bible as other books are studied in order to be blessed this morning. For it to be understood salvifically, savingly, Lord, the Holy Spirit must come in to this room and move on our hearts as we search so that we do something when we study. Prayer is the rustling of the wings of the angels just now that are on their way bringing us the boon of heaven. May we just now see and hear the angel as the chariot wheels rumble in prayer. In Jesus' name, and the church said together,
amen.
Amen. The most haunting words of Jesus are found in this verse. You might want to put a bookmark here so you can look at it later when you get back home. The most frightening, the most chilling words of Jesus. If I had not come. Now, if you've got an old Bible with the red letter edition, those are in red letters. These aren't my words, this is Jesus talking. The most haunting words that Jesus ever even hinted at. 5 terrifying words. More terrifying than that little chick. More terrifying than COVID. More terrifying than a pandemic. If I had not come, that cartoon would have been complete. Oh, how I wish I could have gotten that little chick. And I would have said, little chick, and tell my neighbors and my friends, little friends, don't look to the right, don't look to the left, don't look to the red party, don't look to the blue party. Chick, Look up! That's where the good news is. That's where Jesus is. If I had not come, I want you to just think with me out loud, perhaps, if you want to shout out some ideas, but I wrote down some things about how would our world today be different if Jesus had not come? Just imagine that some powerful hand wiped off the blackboard of time and of history and of civilization, and suddenly Jesus is not part of it. He would have never come. Like a hand that cleanses a blackboard, no trace of his life, no trace of his words, they're all just vanished. In all the encyclopedias of this planet and every culture and nature, the words Jesus or about Jesus vanished. Museums with the pictures of the Last Supper and the Transfiguration. None of them. Leonardo da Vinci and all these famous inventors. Empty spaces on the wall. No Pietà. No carvings of Michelangelo there in Rome about Jesus or of David. Gone. All the great cathedrals on this planet disappeared. The greatest poetry and poems of Dante and Milton and Wordsworth and Tennyson without a trace. If Jesus had not come, cancel culture! Hospitals. There'd be no Florida hospital. There would be no Loma Linda hospital. There would be no schools. Gone. Erased. No Moody Bible Institute, no Wheaton College, no DePaul University, no Notre Dame, no University of Harvard or Yale. No Christian radio. No Loma Linda television. No Hope Channel. No 3ABN or Blue Mountain Television. Or Amazing Facts, my friend Doug Batchelor. No Faith for Today, no Voice of Prophecy, no It Is Written, no Breath of Life, no La Voz de la Esperanza. Nothing! No Christian books. You wouldn't have a Bible. There would be no music of any kind. No great hymns that we sing. No choruses. No gospel songs. No Del Delker. I'm going to get choked up this morning. My college roommate from La Sierra. 18 members of the Little Oakhurst, California church got COVID recently. My friend Vin Rue ended up in a Fresno hospital. He's been with one of those ventilators for several weeks. And Vin just died. His wife today, right now, while I'm speaking here, is gathering the church members. They're not going to be able to meet in the church. They're going to meet outside, and they're going to meet with social distancing, so with a little memorial, the best that California will allow them to do right this very moment. There'd be no Billy Graham crusades. There'd be no Martin Luther, the story of the Reformation. If Jesus hadn't been here, there'd be no John Calvin, no Zwingli, no missionaries sending missionaries and call porters, Wycliffe. There'd be no Uncle Arthur bedtime stories. No Eric B. Hare telling his stories, camp meeting time. No Christian colleges, no seminaries, no Bible correspondence schools going all around the world with different languages, Swahili and Bimba and Afrikaans. There'd be no Florence Nightingale, no doctors, no nurses, no lawyers, no dentists, no churches anywhere, no choirs, no sanctuaries, no sermons, because there'd be nothing to preach about. All would be vanished if Jesus had not come. There wouldn't be any Christmas carols in the shopping malls, which I wish they weren't there until after Thanksgiving, but they're there. But there'd be no children singing away in a manger. That wouldn't happen. Think about this. The most haunting words ever of Jesus. If I had not come. Wow. But wonder of wonders, Galatians 4:4, the good news But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son born of a woman. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we're not sure exactly when he came. We know it wasn't December 25 because the shepherds aren't out in the fields around Bethlehem that time of the year. It's too cold. But we celebrate here 2021 years ago this Christmas that he did come. It's true. But you know, it's only true because the gospel recorded that fact. It's very interesting. They're the only ones who recorded his birth. Social media, you see. Social media has always had a problem with giving all of the facts. But the great message of Christian faith that we're here today is we're not built on a date, but the declaration that God was manifest in the flesh down here on this ball of mud. What the world needs to hear today is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? Jesus came. History. It's his story, you see, that he became one with us, born of a virgin, without a man. You talk about a scandal. Whoa. Yet this person was the Son of God? What child is this? You know, throughout the ages of eternity, I think we're going to spend a lot of time at the feet of Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. As they describe the journey from heaven to earth, the longest journey ever in the history of the universe. Why? C.S. Lewis captured the essence of why God sent his son down here. I'm quoting. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of man might become the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now that's the story of my favorite Christmas carol. Silent night, holy night. But all was not calm. All was not bright in Bethlehem. Just as all is not calm, all is certainly not right today, not in 2021. So here we are this morning in 2021, about to enter the Christmas season, as the Guests of Hope channel, Celebration of Hope. Why? Why? Well, just go back in your minds two Christmases ago. Remember? Wow. We had some headlines all over the planet as we were going to leave this year of 20, we're going to enter 2020. 2020 vision. 2020 wonderful, powerful things are going to happen. The world has never been better. We've never had such prosperity here in America and around the planet. Wow. Things are going to be so bright. It's going to be 2020 crystal clear vision. Remember that? Started off with perfect vision. But you and I know that as well as I do that it wasn't 2020 perfect vision. It quickly, overnight, became clouded with cataracts called COVID-19 cataracts. Instantaneously, we were threatened with the glaucoma of isolation, shutdowns, social distancing, masks, the slow-moving global pandemic threatened billions of lives, and then we were embroiled in a super contentious election year here in America that clouded our thinking, and suicides skyrocketed like it's never before in this planet. I don't know if you know of people, but I know of individuals who took their lives close to me. Some loved ones who didn't know Jesus. This past has been the worst year ever. So this year, here we are at the Hope Channel. We come as Americans, and wherever you are from Jamaica or other countries, we come to the cusp of thanksgiving and winter, which the op-eds are saying could be the worst ever, that things may not be getting better. It could be the darkest yet. But hope, and their television ministry, thankfully reminds us, nope. God hasn't been caught short. It's the best days yet. The best days are coming. Listen. The good news, think about this. Our world has become the very, very darkest. We haven't been able to see each other. I visited people on the plane the other day as I was flying in here who were going to see their loved ones. I haven't seen them in 2 years. Think about this. When the world is the darkest, you look up at the stars shine the clearest, don't they? That's a powerful sermon right there. Has God permitted the cataracts and the darkness of 2020 and 2021? Has he permitted this perhaps on purpose so that we can get out there and help remove the darkness and the cataracts and the discouragement from other people around us who don't have any hope? I'm just asking a question. Are we here by accident? Or are we here by divine appointment? Zechariah prophesied of Jesus' coming and our mission. We're supposed to go out there in any ways that we can to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death. Somebody gave me an article here about our children. Some people get real worried about their kids. Don't feel sorry or fear for your kids because the world they're growing up in isn't what it used to be. God created them and called them for the exact moment in time that they're in. Their life wasn't an accident or a coincidence. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as children of God. Train them up in the authority of His Word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is still in control. Empower them to know they can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereign plan. He knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew David could handle Goliath. He knew Esther could handle Haman. He knew Peter could handle persecution. He knows that your child can handle whatever challenge they face in their life. He created them specifically for it. Don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you to parent the generation that is facing the biggest challenges of our lifetime. Rise up to the challenge. Raise Daniel's, David's, Esther's, and Peter's. God isn't scratching his head wondering what he's going to do with this mess of a world. He has an army he's raising up to drive back the darkness and make him known all over the earth. Don't let your fear steal the greatness God placed in your children. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything besides our sweet little babies. And we just want to protect them from anything that could ever be hard on them. But they were born for such a time as this. Amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I read from the pen of inspiration. Reading those big books. Review and Herald. This is from February 6, 1900. She says, Lonnie, celebration of hope. We are living in the most momentous period of history. We see the world corrupted. Satanic agencies have made the earth a stage for horrors, which no language can describe. The great conflict is now being waged. On one side stands the Prince of Life, on the other, the Prince of Darkness. There are only two sides. On which do you stand? Jesus' most haunting words there in John 15. If I had not come, would you listen to me carefully? Christmas and the gospel and Derek Morris and Hope Channel, they don't pretend that the darkness is gone. The darkness may go darker. Folks, things could get worse. We might not ever be able to meet here again. But Adventism looks darkness square in the face and the issues with unbelievably incredible promises of great hope. Hope Channel. Hope talks to a tired, worn out, hopeless, worrying, weary, worn, wicked, waiting planet in rebellion. But the good news this morning is that darkness cannot ever overwhelm the light.
Amen.
All you need is one little candle. So there's no need for people to be blind forever in this pandemic, isolation. All that's happening around us, and I can't believe what's been happening. I believe the end is quicker than we can ever imagine with the pandemic and borders closed. Jeannie and I drove 12,000 miles this summer in our motorhome to the East Coast and trying to get into the East Coast of Canada. We had to wait at the borders of Maine for several months until they finally opened the borders in mid-August. Now we're just opening temporarily again. But talk about terror. Talk about people in terror in Canada there. The list goes on. But that is all a sideshow compared to what happened in Bethlehem 21 centuries ago. And what's about to happen again here when he comes again the second time. So this morning we have an appeal to hope believers and to supporters of 2021. Jesus says, I came down 21 centuries ago in the middle of scandal, and talk about Moses Brown's experience, his mother wanted to give him away, the bulrushes. I was born with the suspicions of an unwed mother. She was PG. She was supposed to be a virgin. And then I was born in the indignity of a manger of all things. That's a kind way of talking about things. If you grow up on the farm, you use a little more explicit language. I didn't even have a Motel 6. Christmas came when the world least expected it. And so this morning he says, I want to invite you to partner with me. You are my witnesses. And the Bible is very interesting here where Jesus says, if you have King James Version, I like the King James, I like the New Modern Translations too, but the King James Version uses all those old-fashioned Shakespearean words, thee and thou, right? That is unique in all translations. You don't get that when you say you. You, well, you don't know if that's you or you. Do you? It doesn't tell you if it's singular or plural. Thee and thou is always singular in the King James. Put on your seatbelts. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. One person, the power of one contribution, the power of one influence can change everything. Dare to be Jesus. It's because Jesus is saying this morning to us as we close, you are Jesus Christ to many people. You're me. Dare to be me. He invites us this morning, and I read in those pen of inspiration, the final movements will be what? I don't think it'll get much faster than now. I don't know whether there'll be another vision opportunity like we've had here this weekend. Where will the train of time take us next, 1 year from now, 2022? In Orlando? I don't know. The pundits are saying we might be living with a society that only ID cards and special marks and cards, no more money. We'll have 200 mile per hour magnetic roads for travel. We'll be sending our nuclear waste by next year to Mars. Jesus invites us this morning to become spiritual evil Knievels. To change our future. Make a break from all that normal life and the ho-hum. Begin to live and work and totally in reference to Jesus' second coming and dare to be and act like Jesus Christ is coming back tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
I never watched this show on television. I heard Elder McClure, when he was president of the North American Division, tell this story at Hope Camp Meeting in Alberta. This was the first television movie star to make bald beautiful. This is not Michael Jackson, or Michael Jordan, I should say. He had a show on Saturday night that was a favorite in America. It was a crime drama. The setting was in Queens, New York. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Kojak. What was his TV name? Telly Savalas. Again, I never watched it, but Telly Savalas unfortunately died of lung cancer, smoking. And one time he shook his finger into the television camera and he said, "America, you got to stop smoking. It's killing me. It's going to kill you too." But before he died, he shared an interesting story. And when he was famous with Kojak, the entire television crew and all of the producers and writers, they all decided they were going to do an entire scene in Athens, Greece. And so he boarded a jet airliner. And of course, being a movie star, he sat in the very front row of the aircraft. And he was so famous with his bald head, everybody knew who he was. It's a 16-hour non-stop flight to Athens, Greece. I've been on that flight more than once. And so he sat down there. He made arrangements, this is before the aircraft security doors and so forth, that he could get on board early so nobody would recognize him and know him. And he put up a newspaper like this. And as the captain came in and the other people, they began boarding, he just kept the newspaper up and he wouldn't put it down so they could tell that the door was being shut and everybody was on board. He said, "I didn't want to sign autographs. I had a lot of scripts to read and memorize, so I just kept that newspaper in front of me. When I sensed that the whole plane was pretty much loaded, I put the newspaper down beside me." And he said, "A gentleman right beside me was in the aisle and he was taking off his coat and his somewhat looking military hat. He was placing it in the compartment above. And as he turned around to sit down beside me, well, if it isn't Telly Savalas. I can't believe I have the privilege of riding for 16 hours and sitting next to a movie star. Put it there, sir. I'm honored to meet you and to be seated next to you." Telly said he was so upset and he was angry because he had invaded his personal space. He said, "I was so much into myself, I never even acknowledged that hand. Actually, Telly was sitting next to the window. He said, "I pulled up my magazine, I looked out the window, and I totally ignored this person in the aisle." Well, he said, "We took off from Los Angeles, and I tried to look busy with my scripts and so forth. The gentleman was polite beside me. He said, he finally, after about 4 hours, said, "Telly, I see you're busy, and I don't mean to be rude. I am truly honored to be seated next to you. You're a classic example in your show of what the arts and television does. My kids and my wife in Athens, Greece, we watch your show every Saturday night. And it's just an honor to be seated next to somebody who does it right." And again, he put out his hand, "just like to shake your hand." Telly said, "I was so much into myself. I was so offended by his intrusion. I turned my shoulder to him and I never even thanked him for his comment, and I just looked out the window." He said, "We flew on for about another 4 hours until in the first class of overseas compartments, at least back then, everybody was fed meals. And the flight attendants, the stewardesses came and they pass out a little card first. You indicate in first class whether you want Peking duck or apple strudel or whatever you want." And he said, "The gentleman was filling out his card beside me. And then he turned and he said, Telly, I really don't mean to be intrusive. I'm sorry, but to offend you, but my two little children in Athens would not believe I sat next to you. Sir, would you just mind on this little menu, just sign your autograph. He handed the pen and pushed it to Tilly. Would you just sign your autograph and I won't bother you again, I promise. Tilly said, I was so much into myself. I was so rude. I pushed his hand away and I pushed the pen away and I turned and I looked out the window. Well, he said, the gentleman did not bother me again. We were landing early in the morning in Athens, Greece, and he said, I opened my window to see as the plane touched down there, the big 746, 757. And he said, as we began to roll toward a stop, I noticed that we turned off the main runway and went to an area where I could see in the early morning light. It was kind of along a fence where there were all kinds of seats and people. I could tell there were individuals on those seats, thousands of them. And he said, as we got closer, I could see there's a big brass band. Then I could see there was a big red carpet being rolled out right to where the jet was. And he said, as we rolled up to that, he said, I thought, oh no, somebody's leaked the word out that I'm coming and I'm on this flight. I'm going to have to give a press conference. And he was mad. He said, I was angry. I was so upset. And as the jet pulled to a stop, the captain's voice came over the intercom. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Welcome to Athens, Greece, the cradle of Western civilization. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so honored to be the captain of this particular flight because, well, folks, we have a celebrity on board. We have someone on board this flight who has been away from this country for about 6 months on a very, very serious medical leave. And I'm happy to be on this the captain of this flight because this gentleman, the whole country, the Supreme Court, the police, the school children, all of Greece is gathered here together to welcome home their king. And at that moment, this gentleman seated next to Tilly stood up, reached for his official royal robe and his official royal hat. And as the door opened, the brass bands and the orchestra played the national anthem of Greece as all of Greece welcomed home their king. Tilly confessed this later to the tabloids. To think, for 16 hours, I could have ridden right next to a king. I could have gotten to know a king by his first name. I could have known the names of his kids and his pets, his dogs and his cats. I could have known a king. But I was too much into myself. Every one of us, every week, wherever you are, whether you're single or you're married, when you drive to work, you have the privilege of riding next to the king of kings. If you're a single mother, well, I can't have worship on Friday night with my husband and children because they're all gone on divorce. No, friend. Friday night, you can pause at sunset and you can be talking to the King of Kings. Well, I'm such a busy person. No, you can know and come to know Jesus Christ, the King, in your life every single day. That King is here this morning, inviting you to ride along side by side with him in a way you never dreamed possible. So he wants you to put on your seatbelts because he wants to do something for you you never dreamed possible. You know, the problem with our church today, the problem with too many people, I went into an art studio somewhere in southern Utah, Arizona. People are now going out and buying all kinds of stuff they don't need. And this was an art piece. You know what it said on the art piece? I took a picture of it. I should have added it. Me, 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 me. That's our world today. We're totally into ourselves. What does it do for me? You read the newspaper editorials. Well, I listened to this great person here, but he doesn't do anything for me. Me, 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 me.